Worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Then looking in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 to 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that rests in your word. Thank you for the fact that your word equips us, empowers us, nourishes us, guides us, protects us, molds and shapes us to become more and more like you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With every passing day, Lord, more so, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us to be believers who are faithful to read and study and meditate on your word, and believers who are faithful to seek to teach and train our children and our grandchildren and others the importance of placing your word as the priority in our lives, to read it, to study it, and to live it. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how you equip us, how you train us, how you teach us through your word and through leaders that you equip and give to us. Heavenly Father, just wanted to take some moments to pray for our pastors, to pray for our teachers, to pray for our mentors. Would you invest in them more and more, Lord, so that we could bring more all together through their training and through our obedience to you, that we could all see more fruit in your kingdom. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to say a big thank you to all those that either attended our pregnancy banquet, which was for the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry, our mobile medical pregnancy ministry that serves in the Mississippi Delta, had a great turnout, great response, a great impact apparently as well, and Really appreciate all those that attended, but also those who prayed for the event and those who have given spiritually and financially to help with the ongoing work of the ministry. Thank you again for your prayers and your finances as well. And please continue to pray much for this ministry. I want to just share this, that our director had pictures of either ultrasounds or children who were the children of clients who've come through the doors of the mobile clinic. And that was very impactful to me, to see the faces of these beautiful children. And all of God's children are absolutely beautiful. Every one of them are precious. And what a tragedy for us to think about the fact that we live in a nation that in too many instances thinks it's okay to murder babies, to murder God's precious children. It's too critical. So an ongoing encouragement to every listener is that I want to encourage you, if you don't know where your local pregnancy clinic is in your community, find out where it is. Make it your goal to pray daily for them and pray about becoming not only a consistent prayer warrior for them, but pray about giving to them monthly, because the fact is many a pregnancy clinic are poorly funded in our culture. And what a tragedy that is, because many times they have many churches in their community, but so many of the churches often don't even know they exist, don't know what they do. So please find your local pregnancy clinic, pray daily for them, and ask God to guide you about deciding about whether or not to become a monthly financial supporter, one who gives financially to it. They can use your help. Also consider becoming a volunteer. They can use lots of volunteer help as well. So the ongoing work that they do in both sharing the gospel, doing discipleship work, loving young moms who may find themselves expecting a child at a difficult time, and helping them. I can't overemphasize how important that ongoing ministry is. So find your local pregnancy clinic and prayerfully get involved with supporting and working with them. We are very honored and blessed to have, once again, it's been a while, but we're grateful to have Frank Laws. He's the Associate Vice President of Advancement for Belhaven University. Frank, how are you today?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you.
Honored to have you on once again with us. And if you'll take a moment to further introduce yourself and then tell our listeners more about who you are, what you do. And lots of our listeners have heard of Belhaven University, and then some may have never heard of it before in their lives. So if you'll take time to further introduce yourself and the school, we invite you to do that at this time.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was an Air Force brat. I've lived in 8 states, but most of my education took place 7th grade through college was in Mississippi. Started off at a small Christian school in Memphis, but 3 years at a public school, and then 6 years at a mostly secular private school. They would have thought, they would have told you, we're Christians, but it was a secular education. Mm-hmm. And then was blessed by God's providence to attend a purposefully Christ-centered college to finish my education off. I've lived in Georgia and Toledo, Ohio for a total of 26 years, but 6 years ago brought my family back here to Jackson, Mississippi. I've been a staunch advocate of Christ-centered education, my wife and I. We've raised 3 children who have, with the exception of about 3 semesters for 2 students, have spent the entirety of their education being taught in purposely, diligently Christ-centered institutions. And I'm very grateful for what God has done in their lives through that. So much so that I left a career in the investment world that was very rewarding in every way. It was highly competitive and highly challenging, but I left that and returned here to my alma mater, Belhaven, now University, here in Jackson, Mississippi, to advance the cause of Christ-centered education. That's my role here at Belhaven. I work with our alums, our friends, our donors to help promote the university, largely through raising money for the school, but also, and a key component of that is establishing relationships with those who appreciate what we do. And one of the great rewards of it is seeing the lives of kingdom purpose that so many of our alums live around the world. in industry and business, in ministry, in the arts. It's just amazing to see how God is using our people in their careers, in their communities, in their relationships.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, I appreciate you sharing those specifics. If someone listening wants to get in touch with or learn more about Belhaven University, how can they do that?
Our website is belhaven.edu, as in education. Belhaven is B-E-L-H-A-V-E-N. So you can look us up there. You can contact me at flaws@belhaven.edu. That's F-L-A-W-S. And I would love to correspond with anybody that has questions about our discussion here today.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. And as we begin, I want to invite you to pray for the Lord to speak to our listeners. You know, like on the one hand, some listeners might think, well, this is a big commercial for Belhaven University. Well, yes and no. It's a great school, and I'm grateful to say many years ago I had the honor of attending that school myself and graduated from there. But at the same time, I hope that a part of the discussion will help people to see the critical place that Christian education can and should play in the lives of children, young people, children, but also parents in helping to guide and direct their children in the right direction. So would you pray for listeners to hear what the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Oh, it's an honor. Thank you. Father God, we come before your throne this morning grateful that you allow us to be in your presence. Thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is our intermediary who prays for us and gives us access, Lord God. We thank you that you have forgiven us. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of order and design, and through you, in you, we can understand our surroundings, our world, and what you would have for us. We thank you that you are a God who loves us, which is amazing, that you are a God who provides for us, and that you you desire what is good for us. And we're just in awe of you. It's we don't deserve your kindness, but we rejoice in it. And I pray that you would be honored and blessed in our conversations, Lord. I pray that you would shut my mouth on anything that's not true, Lord. I pray that our conversation would be pleasing to you in its truthfulness and in its desire to please you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Frank, thanks again for being with us today. And we're coming up on a break in just a moment, so we'll kind of jump in more directly on the other side. But something I want to say that I'm going to ask you to address right away as we begin our conversation is, I believe this to be very much true. Every issue in life is a discipleship issue. The question behind every matter should be, how do I honor God in this part of my life, in this regard, in this situation, under these circumstances? And again, we're called to be disciples and make disciples. And so as it relates to Christian education, I want us to kind of dive in and talk a little bit more about why that would be true as it relates to education and why it's important for parents to take helping their children to pick the right college and why, you know, why that's important. Father, thank you again for our brother Frank. Thank you for Belhaven University. Thank you for many good Bible-based Christian schools that are out in the world that are there to help mold and shape young people to become strong, vibrant servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. More and more, help us as believers and as parents to take helping our children, guiding our children in the right direction, selecting schools. Help us to take that very, very serious. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people.
Music from Passion with God of this City. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Frank Laws. He's the Associate Vice President of Advancement of Belhaven University, Christian University in Jackson, Mississippi. Frank, as I was touching on the fact, as I believe very much to be true, every issue is a discipleship issue. And in the truest sense of the word, everything is spiritual, whether people understand that or not. But I want to ask you this question. Say, for example, you have a parent that says to you, Mr. Laws, I'm wanting to guide and direct my child to the right university. And I've found that Christian or private schools tend to be a little bit more expensive than universities. And I raised my child in church and they got saved at an early age and brought them up in church. So why should I choose a Christian school rather than a secular school? How would you respond to that question?
Well, that's a good question. There's several answers. But I think at the core, the simplest and most direct response is that there's no such thing. I think it's a mistake to think that there is such a thing as a neutral education. I was backpacking here recently and ended up talking to a young Jewish man. I was pleased to hear him say he was a philosophy major, and he acknowledged that everyone has a worldview. And so behind an education is a worldview. There isn't an absence of such a thing. I think Dr. Peter Jones highlighted this fact well in a sermon he gave, that he said there's only two religions, worshiping the Creator or the creation. I think we can back this up with Romans 1, really the Romans 1 totality. I would encourage you to read it, but specifically 22 through 25. Therefore, God gave them, no, I'm sorry, 22, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. It goes on to say they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than Creator, who is blessed forever. And so, you know, whether we're talking about a different religion or a different, placing material success as an idol, our pleasure as an idol, one of my favorite philosophers said, man's nature is a perpetual factory of idols. You know, the fact is we were made to worship. And so when it comes to education, I think we could extend that to say that every education is discipleship. It's just a matter of, are you being discipled to follow and to know our Creator, or is it, you know, are you being led to worship the creation? I can go on. I'll stop there.
Well, you know, you said every education. The phrase you just stated a moment ago, can you repeat that phrase one more time? Education is discipleship. Quote it for him again, if you would.
Yeah. Yeah. What Peter Jones said, there's only two religions. You're worshiping the Creator or the creation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to worship correctly, you've got to be informed. Mm-hmm. You have to be educated, you know. And no matter what school you're at, no matter who is teaching you, in whatever context, that is discipleship. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can go to a public university and you're going to be discipled. And I would say that if you have diligently And I failed to do it, even though I was intentional. If you have diligently discipled your children thoroughly through 12 years, 17 years of their life, and you've been in a church, and in a school system where that's being backed up and duplicated, then maybe your kid can do well in a public university. But I think very few of us have done that. I think we all get distracted and find ourselves pursuing other things to different degrees. Mm. And so, I think continuing to teach your children in a Christian worldview, you've got to find a Christian college, a Christian university.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, I think of this that like in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge."
Mm.
But Amen. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And, I think this to be true that, I think it's so powerful yet simple to recognize this, that if a person doesn't know God, they can never really be fully educated, because the foundation of all true knowledge and all truth, of course, is the Word of God. And so if a person tries to discount God, yet they go to all kinds of schools and universities maybe that ignore God, the world says they're educated, but in the truest sense of the word, they're not educated at all. Because again, the Word of God is the foundation of all true knowledge. So thoughts that come to your mind in relation to that?
Well, I'm sitting here looking at my computer, and this particular computer uses Microsoft. Mm-hmm. If I want to effectively use the computer, beyond just scrolling through social media, but to use it effectively, to use Excel spreadsheets, Word, if I want to program my computer to do something, then I've got to go to the manual. I've got to listen to what Microsoft tells me about this computer. A computer has an operating system, mm-hmm. and some level of knowledge of it is going to determine whether I can use this effectively, how effectively I can use it. And so we look at the world, if I want to understand math, the materialist says that everything's random, it's accidental, and it's just a matter of chemicals, vibrating at a certain frequency. To jump from that to math is a discipline that has order and structure, and I can understand it, and we can all communicate using it, there's no logic to that. So, mm-hmm. as you're saying, it's precisely on point. If I want to study math, then I need a foundation from the one who created it. Mm-hmm. It's as insane as thinking, well, I'm going to use Microsoft, but I really like Apple software, so I'm going to view Microsoft software through an Apple structure. You're gonna mess up somewhere,
mm-hmm.
Mm. or through no structure at all. So, and to back up this thought, I think ultimately Scripture is it's our ultimate and it's our sufficient source of information. But let's just listen to what the public education proponents tell us. John Dewey is highly informative on where public education is this day. And we can quote him. He said, "If the public schools can keep children occupied from 7 to 7:30 in the morning throughout the day, with sports after school and homework in the evening, the parents will have less than an hour a day with their children, and the families and the Christian church's influence over them could be broken in about a generation." This is John Dewey, highly considered the father of modern public education.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he says about education. So affirm what we're telling, but from the opposite side of the table.
Mm-hmm. And, I think of this, Frank, that it's so helpful for us as believers to understand this, too, that, again, to your point earlier, all of life is discipling you in one direction or another. And it's critical to understand that the study of the Word of God needs to be the foundation of everything, because it is the foundation of everything. The Word of God is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that we understand, too, that many of our children, for example, just setting school aside, many children are addicted to their cell phones. Well, that's discipleship. they're being discipled in darkness. In other words, it's pouring negative, wrong information, wicked, dark things into their minds and their hearts. All of life is educating us in one direction or another. And it's important that we as believers are wise enough to be deliberate about doing the right thing, going in the right direction, because you're going to get educated one way or another. And it's important that we're deliberate, Amen. Especially as it relates to education itself, though, because, again, as you said, it's not neutral. It's going to either be pointing Amen. You to God or away from God. And it's important that we understand that truth then. So, but what thoughts come to your mind as it relates to that reality?
Well, you know, I am a big consumer. I hate to admit that. And I love music and I love story. And we're not all the same. Not everybody enjoys music and story the same way I do. And so I have no biblical basis for telling another believer, you shouldn't watch that or you shouldn't listen to this. I can say you should be careful about what you watch or listen to when there are certain things that you should avoid. But generally speaking, as I consume music and I work out, I run and I'm listening to music, I've learned that even music that doesn't have any discernible sinful context in the lyrics, that I find myself pulled away from the truth and the glory of God when I listen to it, if I'm not careful. Now, I can't say that's true for everybody, because I'm moved by music in a way that's probably different from other people. When I listen to God-honoring music, and I'm a huge hymnal and psalmody guy, but I love contemporary Christian music, not for church worship, but for when I'm working out. And so when I'm listening to praise music, wow, I find myself walking in faith and in peace. Whereas when I'm listening to secular music, if I'm not careful, I find myself thinking thoughts that I wouldn't want to admit. And it just speaks to that. We're constantly being educated. And, mm-hmm. I learned in college to evaluate content, because I had professors in philosophy and Bible who taught me to be discerning. Mm-hmm. My father has written books. He's a journalist. He's a smart guy. I was raised to love and value books, but he never taught me to be discerning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had a secular 10th grade teacher that told me, Frank, you don't have discernment. And I'm sitting here mm-hmm. thinking, I'm a bibliophile. I love books. I read voraciously. My father instilled in me a love for books, and she's right. I don't have discernment. I just swallow what I'm taught.
Mm-hmm.
Thank the Lord for a college where I learned to process information through that filter of Scripture and of listening to brothers who, can call me out. So mm-hmm. that's my view. I hope that wasn't too much.
No, I do appreciate you sharing that. And I think of this, too, that one of the many reasons why parents need to be so discerning about helping to guide and advise their children in selecting a university is because, again, none of them are neutral. All of them basically are pointing them to God or away from God or a combination. Now, one thing is true, too, is that every professor is different. Some professors are atheists, and they sadly, sometimes it appears that one of their goals is to pull the faith out of believers, children, young people who are believers. But on the other hand, sometimes you have some that they're not necessarily atheists, but they don't respect the Word of God or look down on it. And so sometimes their job in their mind is to water down a young person's view of the integrity of Scripture, too. So again, going back to your point, discernment. If they have enough of a foundation in their faith and the Word of God themselves, they're blessed beyond so many other young people, because many young people, when they go to college, they think the world of their professors, and they think, he's smart, she is so wise, and they just soak up whatever they may hear. And so sadly, many a young person that goes to school as a believer may come out with all sorts of wrong perspectives, whether they end up being an atheist or not necessarily an atheist, but somebody who no longer really looks to God as being the key to all of life, and how tragic that really can be. So, but thoughts in relation to that?
Well, yeah, I've had multiple friends who attended other Christian colleges and who, you know, have told me they were surprised to find professors even in the Bible department that told them that, a lot the miracles of Jesus were just myths told to encourage the church.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on the side of John Dewey, who was a churchgoer, but who denied the supernatural. And so I've had another, one of my daughter's friends went to another school, chose it because it was a Christian institution. But in her classes, she had assignments to attack pastors, theologians, who I know to be diligent and hateful, expositors, teachers of the word. And so you have to be careful when you look at where you're sending your kid to school. And, we've seen it. The kids that they do revere their teachers when they have a good teacher. And, it's difficult to winnow out, to separate out, what is true and what's valuable that you're being taught from the
I'm going to jump in right here, Frank, and we can pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Frank Laws. He's the Associate Vice President of Advancement at Belhaven University. We'll be right back. Music of Brian and Katie Torwald with When You Walk Into the Room. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Frank Laws. He's the Associate Vice President of Advancement for Belhaven University in Jackson, Mississippi. Frank, would you once again, if someone who's listening wants to learn more about Belhaven University or just be in touch, how can they do that?
Well, they can reach out to me personally. My email address is flaws@belhaven.edu. And yep, you heard that right. It's FLAWS. Our website, if you just want to look up information about us, is Belhaven. That's with one L, .edu, as in education, belhaven.edu.
All righty then. Okay, and so you were touching on just the reality that parents and young people need to be discerning, even going to an institution that states it's Christian, you have to be discerning there. Obviously, if a school's a secular school, you have to be wary of that. But when a school says it's a Christian school and carries that banner, but there too, you have to be wise as well. If you'll pick up your thought there, please.
Yeah. When my oldest child was looking at school, she visited one, and she came back home and was excited about it. And I was nervous because I was worried about this institution. And the next morning she told me, Dad, I'd be better off at a public university. I said, well, tell me, what do you mean? And she knew, she saw that it was really historically Christian. It was maybe culturally Christian at a level, but it was, there were so many obvious points at which they were in opposition to scriptural truths that she knew as a 17-year-old not to be there. Mm-hmm. There are lots of really good Christ-centered schools out there. Yeah, Bellhaven's not alone. So I don't want to scare people, but I think some key things to ask, to look at, you can go to our website and you see that our verse of the year is go and make disciples of all the nations. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, Matthew 28:19-20. And you'd be encouraged. You're like, wow, that's a good Christian school. Look at our mission statement. It says Bellhaven University prepares students academically and spiritually to serve Christ Jesus in their careers, in human relationships, and in the world of ideas. That's great, but I would encourage you, even if you're looking at us, don't be bashful. Ask, beyond the school's mission statement, but ask, what's its view on Scripture? Do you require, professors to hold to an inerrant, infallible view of Scripture, a biblical view of marriage? Do you, require professors to incorporate the Christian worldview, the biblical foundation of their study, whether it's healthcare administration or it's dance or it's biology or business, what is actually being taught in the classroom? I would encourage you to find out about alums. Ask them, how were you impacted? What's your takeaway? And those are some good steps in discerning, is this a school that's going to disciple my child well in the faith?
And it's so much, it really, a critical bottom line issue is, how well is it really doing discipleship? That really is a critical key, no matter what the circumstances or situations. I think of something that Frank and I say this carefully because it sounds so disrespectful, to be quite honest with you, but it's something that was shared with me. I remember hearing some young fellows that had attended a particular institution that was considered Christian, but they were talking about very admiringly of a particular professor who, to illustrate a point, near the beginning of his course, he made it his business. He would take a Bible and throw it in the garbage can. Now, that sounds so sacrilegious to me all by itself. But it seems to me young Christians should have decided at that point that they would get up and leave the classroom. That's what I would think they should have done. But these young men were very admiring of this particular professor. And so the fact is, going again back to the word you used earlier, discernment. It's so critical that every believer grow in their walk with God and have discernment in the way they do what they do. So, but thoughts that come to your mind about that?
Well, talking about discernment, we talk about the world. We look at, influential professors that lead astray, but discernment's so critical. And it's a takeaway, that I learned from my experience in the classroom here. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? James 3:16 tells us, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. We've got to constantly be checking our own heart. And one of the biggest blessings that God has given me, and I know it's the work of the Holy Spirit, is how often I check myself and I measure my desires, I measure my thoughts against Scripture. And against the teaching I had from my professors, is this biblical? And how often do I have to correct my own self from mistaken thoughts and actions? Mm-hmm. So, it's easy to look around us and find fault with others, but that's what the Word of God does: is it changes us and it gives us. Here's the heart of the matter. At the end of the day, we talked about we're either worshiping the Creator or the creation. The heart is deceitful above all things. We so easily can be in denial of reality. You know, I can remember seeing a photo of myself and realizing that I had gotten physically so out of shape, and I was oblivious to it. And you know, I needed that photograph held up as a measure to realize, you know, a change I need to make. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Scripture is an external God. God is the external, eternal, unchanging. You know, we read in James that He does not change like shifting shadows. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we ourselves are our measure, and that's without God and His truth being our measuring stick, then it is us, or it's another human being who is just as frail and misguided as we can be. Now, how do we even know that we've gone astray?
That's right.
And that's, you know, that discernment is critical, and we can easily look at others and judge them, but man, if you don't realize how messed up you yourself are, mm-hmm. yeah, then you're on the wrong foot. Anyway, that's my sermon for the morning. I'll stop there.
Would you pray for parents? Pray that parents, Christian parents, would grow in their maturity and discernment in guiding and directing their children as it relates to selecting schools. Pray, if you would, pray for parents, but also pray for the church, the leadership of the church, to be wise enough to really help guide parents and families in being discerning in this area as well.
Hmm. Certainly. Father God, we stop and we acknowledge You as our Father. Lord God, you tell us that You are Father to the fatherless. You tell us that You are our Abba Father. And what an amazing thing to be allowed to consider ourselves Your child. Lord God, nothing shows us the state of our being and the challenges like parenthood does. Lord God, I can think of nothing that has humbled me more personally than being a parent. And Lord God, I pray for parents that are listening, Lord God, that this scary endeavor of parenting, which also is the most rewarding endeavor that we can embark on, is parenting, Lord God, that You would inform our fellow parents, Lord God, that You would give them wisdom, Lord God. It's one of the handful of things that You tell us that we can ask for, and we can count on it being given to us, Lord God, that we can ask You for wisdom. And so I pray for wisdom for parents this morning, Lord God. And I pray that You would bring people alongside parents that can teach them and that can speak truth to them kindly but unerringly, Lord God. I think of the many people who bless me with words of wisdom, Lord God. I think of the kindness of the Holy Spirit in breaking my arrogant heart, breaking my unwillingness to listen to others, Lord God, and that You gave me a heart to be taught, Lord God, that You brought people alongside who parented well that I could follow. And I pray for the parents listening this morning that they would be that person, or that they would, that You would give them that person, Lord God, that You would speak through others to them about the wonderfulness of parenting. And Lord God, that they would be what we see in You, Lord God. We know that rules without love leads to rebellion. And Lord God, the parents can be too strict and too rules oriented, or they can be too loving and no rules oriented. Lord God, I pray that You would help us to find that balance of loving our children and loving them so much that we give them guidelines and boundaries. Lord, I pray for the churches that they wouldn't shirk from their responsibility of instilling those things, being that voice to our parents, that they would speak truth and love, they would balance grace and truth in their preaching and their discipleship in a way that sets parents on the right path, Lord God. Help us to find forgiveness for where we fail. And Lord God, pray that our children would see You in the words and the actions that we exhibit to them, Lord God, and that they would know Your your grace and your mercy and your love for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much again, Frank, for being with us today. We certainly do appreciate you. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a good day to commit your life to Christ or to recommit your life to the Lord. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us even now and commit or recommit your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent. And I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In the Word of God, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you. Help me to read the Word of God daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to live what I learn every single day. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please email us. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us to get in touch so we can get that to you. Again, Frank, thanks so much for being with us. Would you share the website information one more time if someone is interested in learning more about Belhaven University?
Certainly. It is belhaven.edu. That's belhaven.edu.
All right. Thanks so much. And we invite our listeners, pray much for Frank. Pray for the Belhaven University and other Christian schools out there as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.